My recording. I'm starting my recording again, and that's okay. I guess the second recording could really be the recording, because until now it's just been introduction. But this essay that I picked that I want to do this time is Majesty and Humility. So I was looking at this book, and it was written by a Rav Ziegler, Rav Rani Ziegler, and his essays and Shiurim on Rav Soloveitchik's works is available on the Gush website on Etzion, or used to be called VBM. And those essays are now in a book, which I forget what they're called. But I had this ebook on my computer with my Kindle app that he has really fantastic. It goes through some of Rav Soloveitchik's thought and the same idea expressed in different essays. And if you're curious about what that is, I can send it to you afterwards. But I looked at that for this essay. Maybe we'll use some of the things that he said. But really, I just want to read some of this essay and talk about it. So let's just read, we're not going to read the whole thing together, but a couple paragraphs. So you guys see my screen? Give me a thumbs up, or say hi, whatever works. Okay, wonderful. So it says here, man is a dialectical being. Okay, so it's already starting off with a big word, but this idea of man as a dialectical being, for anybody who's read any of Rav Soloveitchik's biggest essays, which, the biggest ones are really a halachic man and lonely man of faith. He has another big essay, Halachic Mind. That one is just incredibly complicated, very hard to understand. That one's not as popular because it's just very difficult. But this idea of dialectic, this idea of that you're going to have, in this essay and other essays by Rav Soloveitchik, that there's going to be two, sometimes opposite, sometimes just different ways that man experiences the world. And the point of the Torah and the point of Halacha is somehow to deal with that. It could deal with that in different ways. But this idea of a dialectic, what's a dialectic? It's really a chakira. That's what it means. It's Rav Soloveitchik, even in this very first line, combining both his brisker background and his philosophical background. Man is a chakira. Man has two different aspects. You could think about it. Is man this or is man that? And the answer is going to be that man is both. Okay, so let's see what he means. An inner schism runs through his personality at every level. It's like just split about who we are as human beings. This schism is not due to man's revolt against his maker as Christian theology has preached since the days of Augustine. I am not familiar with Augustine's writings. I don't know that much about Christian theology, but the very, very, very little that I know, I feel like there's this idea that what's the story of Adam and Chava? What's the story of Adam, receiving the fruits? That's telling you that man rebelled, man is now become a sinner, man is damned, there's nothing that can save him from himself, he's just a bad being at this point. The only thing that can save him is just relying on the mercy of God. Okay? So there's something about that man is just bad. Okay? That's Christian theology. Unlike this view, according to which it was man who, by a sinful rebellion against his maker, precipitated this split in human nature. I guess the split, again, we don't have to talk so much about the Christian side, but I guess there's somehow that he can get to goodness through God, but he himself is bad. Maybe that's a split nature. I'm not exactly sure. The Judaic view posits that the schism is willed by God as the source of man's greatness and his election as a singular charismatic being. What's Rav Soloveitchik saying? Hashem wanted that people are going to have different parts of their personality. When I have a certain tension, when on the one hand I want to be like this, on the other hand I want to be like that, and I have to somehow find a way to deal with both of those kohos, that's something that's going to help me grow, it's going to help me accomplish things. I don't know if this is what Rav Soloveitchik, if he would agree with this example, but there's a famous medrash that says that what's Tov Ma'od about the Bria and the Medrash Rabbah? It says that Tov Ma'od is the Yetzer Hara. And the medrash says, is the Yetzer Hara really Tov Ma'od? It says, yes. Without the Yetzer Hara, a person wouldn't want to get married, he wouldn't want to build a house and have a profession, he'd just be static. So this idea that when you have different forces within you, that could lead to growth and that could lead to greatness, that's what Soloveitchik is talking about. Man is a great and creative being because he is torn by conflict and always in a state of ontological tenseness and perplexity. What's ontological has to deal with existence. He's always in my very existence, about how I exist, how I feel, how I experience the world, I feel like I'm being pulled in two different directions. The fact that the creative gesture is associated with agony is a result of this contradiction, which pervades the whole personality of man. I'm not exactly sure what Rav Soloveitchik means here, but he's saying that somehow the idea that in order to create something, I have to suffer to create it, I have to agonize to create it, that's a result that there's something simple about us. We're being pulled in two different directions. Okay. What Rosalvechik says in the next paragraph, which we won't read inside, is that there's different ways of viewing a dialectic, right? There's the Hegelian model. It's the idea that sometimes there's one extreme, which is called the thesis, then on the other hand, there's another extreme called the antithesis, and then we have something in the middle called the synthesis, which takes two kochos and puts them together to a third, yishuv. It's miyashiv, the two kochos. Says Rosalvechik, in Judaism, there's no yishuv. In the world, there's no yishuv. We're being pulled in different directions, but sometimes I'll be more towards one, sometimes more towards the other. It's not that I'll live in this simple, balanced way with everything in harmony. The nature of man is that things are not going to be harmonious. We're going to feel sometimes this way, sometimes that way, and that's how we're supposed to be. Just interesting, if you note here at the bottom, it says this essay was delivered at Rutgers University. In 1973. So it is interesting because I feel like sometimes the way that a person will address his audience will obviously depend on who the audience is. It could be if Rosalvechik was giving a lecture on this topic to the rabbinic alumni of Ritz, he would give different examples or say things a little bit differently. Obviously, I'm assuming the ideas would be the same, but maybe later on we'll see. I feel like you could keep in mind that who his audience is. It could be shed some light on some of the things that he says. Okay, paragraph number three we could skip. Okay. I think we should do number five. No, for the sake of time, we're not going to do number five. Okay. This is what I want to do. Let's start with number six. Okay. The basic dialectic of man. Okay. This idea, there's two aspects of man and his morality was beautifully captured in two Midrashic homilies quoted by Rashi. The idea that there's Rashi Ala Torah quotes on the pasuk of Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Adam Afar Min HaAdama. Hashem created man and he made him by taking dust from the earth. So there's this Midrash that says that Rashi quotes, or Midrashim that Rashi quotes, but where was this dust taken from? So the dust, according to one Midrash, the Rashi says, Tzavar Afaro mikol ha'adama mi'arba ruchos. What is man? Man is to be made up by everything. Everything in the world. There's a little bit of dust from there, a little bit of dust from there, a little bit of dust from there. Obviously, these midrashim, I think, at least from our world, it doesn't mean literally. The whole idea of Hashem, Vayitz Hashem, Elokim es Adam, Afar min Adama, l'chora represents a more spiritual, mystical kind of idea. But the idea that how is man made? He's made from dust from all parts of the world. Davar Acher, another Medrash, Notal Afar Mimokum Shenemarbo, Mizbach Adama Ta'aseli. What's this Adama that man was made from? He's made from the Mokum HaMikdash, he's made from the Adama of the Mizbeach. Okay? So, says Rosalvechik, that was Rashi. Man was created, over here, man was created of, oh no, I'm writing on the essay. Okay, you know where I am. Man was created of cosmic dust. God gathered the dust of which man was fashioned from all parts of the earth. Indeed, from all the uncharted lanes of creation. Man belongs everywhere. He is no stranger to any part of the universe. The native son of the sleepy little town, which could be Rav Soloveitchik is thinking about himself, right? Growing up in Khaslovich, and he had dreams about being, understanding the world and figuring things out. I think I heard from Rabbi Rakefet, who... I listened to some of his talks a number of years ago. He's very entertaining. He's very, very interesting. But I think it was him who said that once Rav Soloveitchik was complaining about some of his Talmidim, that he said, back where I grew up in Khaslovich, people were more open-minded than you guys are. That you don't want to know about the world. You don't want to understand things. You have to try to figure things out. You have to try to have a sense of curiosity and want to understand why things are the way that they are. Right? Even this, the native son of a sleepy little town, at the same time, a son of parts distant and unknown. Meaning, even though he's right here physically, but the fact that he could try to learn about and understand and explore things beyond where he is, that means he belongs to the entire world. In short, man is a cosmic being. This thing about he is cosmic in a threefold manner, we're not going to talk about it together. But where Soloveitchik is getting at... In short, cosmic man is mesmerized by the infinite number of opportunities with which his fantasy presents him. Right? He's in the world. He's not like an animal. He can understand that, wow, there's this big world around him. I want to figure it out. Maybe Rosalvechik is talking about more of a scientific attitude here. What are all these stars? How does our galaxy turn? What's the axis of that the Earth rotates on? Why does water freeze? Why how can I make a way to get to the different parts of the world faster and safer? We want to be part of the bigger world. We want to try to understand it and be part of it. Right? He forgets the simple tragic fact that he is finite and immortal. That's part of human beings, that when we're in this world, we don't think about the fact that we're finite so often. We think about that we want to do and we want to get out there and accomplish things. As if we're infinite, right? And that to reach out for infinity and eternity is a foolhardy undertaking. But that's who we are. As people, we want to do something big. We want to go beyond where we are. We want to try to explore. We want to try to understand and maybe even control things. That's one part of man. Now the other part. Let us examine the other interpretation of the verse in Genesis, right? The other medrash. Man was created from the dust of a single spot. Man is committed to one locus, one point. The Creator assigned him a single spot he calls home. Man is not cosmic, right? He's not looking all over the world. He is here-minded. He is rooted being. He is a rooted being. Not cosmopolitan, but provincial, right? Narrow-minded. A villager who belongs to the soil that fed him as a child and to the little world into which he was born. What's Rav Soloveitchik saying here? Part of us is that we don't want to go somewhere new. We don't want to go somewhere foreign. We want to feel like, what's our place? Our place is, I do what I do, I'm where I'm comfortable, I have my family, I have the people that I'm aware of, and part of me, part of our neshama tells us, I just want to stay where I am. I don't want to be this out there and uncomfortable and exploring and conquering. I just want to be where I am at home, where I'm comfortable, and nobody has to see me, and nobody has to nobody has to understand me. I'm just going to be by myself, be with the people that I'm comfortable with, and that's who I am, okay? What's interesting, until now, nothing that Rav Soloveitchik has said is really religious yet. Meaning, he's just talking about the nature of man. He's talking about psychology. L'chora, right? What's he saying? We have two different, almost opposite tendencies as human beings. On the one hand, we want to go out. We want to explore new things. We want to learn new things. We want to conquer. We want to be part of the big, big, broad, infinite world. But on the other hand, us as human beings, we want to stay where we are. We don't want to go somewhere new. We want to be where we're comfortable and do what we've always done and do what our fathers did. Okay, that's the other aspect. Yes, man may roam along the charted and uncharted lanes of the universe. He may reach for the skies. Yet the traveler, the adventurer out to conquer infinity will surely return home. Right? We're always going to be going back and forth between this desire to go out and the desire to stay in. If this homecoming did not occur during his lifetime because he was too preoccupied, this is almost a heavy thought, right? And even if he thinks he'll always be exploring and out there and conquering infinity, he's going to go back to his home at some point, not in his lifetime, but after his lifetime, right? Because he was too preoccupied with motion and exploration, it will certainly take place posthumously when his body will be brought home to the quiet, lonely graveyard with which had long been expecting him. Okay, there you go. There you go. This part is very interesting. You guys can look at it afterwards. We're not going to be able to read the whole essay. And then I want to conclude with this. This is already where Soloveitchik begins to get religious. That these two aspects, there's something religious about them. What do I mean? Both cosmos conscious man and the origin conscious man. Again, when you talk about Rav Soloveitchik, he likes to talk about different, like I said at the very beginning, there's a chakira. But when Rav Soloveitchik, and almost all of his famous essays, the topic of that is humanity, is understanding human beings. So there's a lot of categories, not of chepze gavra, but of gavras, of men, right? What is man? So in Lonely Men of Faith, there'll be, on the one extreme, cognitive man who wants to understand things, as opposed to homo religiosus, the religious man, and in the middle, there'll be halachic man, and then there's Adam 1 and Adam 2 in Lonely Man of Faith. There's always different types of man, because that's what Soloveitchik is describing, these different tendencies of man. So here we have men again. We have cosmos conscious man and origin conscious man, the two types of man. Right? Quest for God. Although they are not always aware of this quest. And that can be part of Rav Soloveitchik's audience here. He's talking to students. Like, listen, maybe you didn't even realize this, but there could be something religious about your desire to understand and conquer and go into the big world and figure things out. Maybe there's something there. Okay, that's what he's getting to here. Right? He doesn't even understand it sometimes. Man yearns for God. Right? Rav Soloveitchik is saying that these two tendencies are part of who we are as human beings. I don't know if he says it explicitly here, but I think what Rav Soloveitchik is would believe is that if this is what our tendencies are, if that's what we're like as human beings, so Hashem who made us, Hashem who made our neshama to have these two tendencies, he built into it that these two tendencies also somehow have to do with getting close to him. These two tendencies are not just stam secular tendencies, but part of these tendencies is something which could potentially bring us closer to him. Okay? Man yearns for God both in his feverish haste to get farther and farther from home, and in his lonesomeness for home, and is experiencing the spell that home casts upon him. Right? Somehow both these things can bring him close to Hashem. In what way? Cosmic man finds God if ready for him. Again, this qualifier that not everybody who's an explorer and a scientist and a conqueror will be religious. But if he's looking for him, we'll find him. Where will he find him? In the vastness and boundlessness of the cosmic drama. In the heavenly galaxies billions of light years away. Right? What is Rav Soloveitchik saying? And I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure I can totally identify with what he's saying, but I believe what he's saying, and what I can somewhat identify with, is the idea, sometimes we're looking at the universe, and we're just overwhelmed by the magnitude, by the infinity, by just the grandeur of the entire world, and if we're trying to be part of that, and explore that, and understand that, we have this sense of the glory of Hashem, of the infinity of Hashem. We're looking at his world, and if we're learning about it, understanding it, that can bring us close to the sense of awe, the sense of the godless of Hashem in his world. Okay? Homebound, origin-minded man finds God in the limitedness and the narrowness of finitude. Right? He's by himself at home, it's quiet, oh, he just feels this, I think what Rav Soloveitchik is saying, he feels this closeness with Hashem, the fact that I'm here, and I'm not trying to have anybody see me. I'm not trying to see anybody else. I'm just by myself. When I'm by myself, I can also feel this certain closeness with Hashem in this tsanua, modest, quiet kind of way. In the smallness of the modest home into which man was born, into which he willy-nilly returns, he discovers God in the origin, in the source, in the center of the burning bush. He feels like this simple world where I am, he somehow feels like Hashem is the source of everything. Either infinity cannot contain God, or God, if he so wills, addresses man from the dimensionlessness of a point. Okay? I think we will stop here for now. I think we've done approximately a little bit more than half of the essay, Meretz Hashem. Next time we'll conclude. And we haven't really gotten to the real punchline yet. So now we're just developing, as Rav Soloveitchik is developing these ideas. But what Rav Soloveitchik is saying now in this essay, Majesty and Humility, so far, is that there's two aspects of man. There's a part of man who has a desire, has a basic, healthy, natural need to explore, to understand things, to figure things out, to make things make sense. And he looks at the world as something which he wants to conquer and be part of and explore. On the other hand, part of us just wants to be by ourselves. We want to do what we know. We want to do what we learned when we were kids. We want to do what we're familiar with. And also, that's also part of human nature. And now Rav Soloveitchik is beginning to develop, and he's going to continue with this the religious aspect of these two aspects of humanity, of humankind. There's something religious about it. As we're trying to be grand and explore and make sense of this giant universe, as we're doing that, we can also appreciate the majesty of Hashem's world and just the incredible glory of Hashem's world. And that can be something religious. At the same time, also, when we're quiet and on our own and without any eyes upon us, that certain quietness, that brings us also to Hashem. We feel like connected to the source of us, of ourselves, without having to figure out anything else beyond us. We just want to be quiet and have solitude. And that's another way to connect with Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik, in the continuation of Meretz Hashem next time, we'll be talking about how also another religious aspect of these two components of our personalities, and also what the Torah tells and Halacha has to say about how to kind of utilize these different kochos within us. Okay, so I will stop the share now, and I will unmute in case anybody has any questions.